Do you ever get stuck on like crazy algorithm, like on Instagram or whatever you're like, you don't know where it came from?
Yeah, mostly like when you send me stuff and then I start seeing the same things over and over.
So like, but those are, you know, where they came from. Like I send you like motivational things or leadership things or whatever. I got the other day, I got stuck on for whatever reason, and you can judge me all you want. I got stuck on Backstreet Boys are at the Sphere thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got like, within 10 minutes, I got probably like four or five.
Did it take you back to high school?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Were you a Backstreet Boys fan? Were you NSYNC? Were you in that genre? Because again, I don't know how it got onto my feed, but yes, it did put me into that place.
I don't know. I wasn't like super into either. I would say that both had their like place. I could enjoy a boy band for what it was, but I was never like 100% like,
let me go to a concert screaming.
No, person. Like I might now, like I would probably be more likely to go now to see them than I would, but okay. I really was.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get out of that loop. But I figured, you know, it was something to bring up and talk about.
How long were you there though?
In the loop?
Yeah.
I think I'm mostly out of it now. I see maybe one or two every once in a while, but it's not like, for a reason that day stuck out in my mind. I was like, okay, get me out of this thing. Get me out of this genre of reels. So, all right, you ready for this episode?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Bell. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, my name is Ryan Pina. I am the principal at OMS.
And I'm Stacey Arts, the principal of Tabernacle Elementary School and supervisor of special services.
We are back to doing a regular episode today. So we have a guest. We're going to throw out some dates for you. We played a new game with our guests, which I'm pretty excited about. We will kind of get back to our normal way of doing things. We wanted to start off by talking about some of our summer activities that we concluded. And I wanted to really start talking first about our ESY program. So can you give us a little insight of how you think it went? I know we wrapped up with our tie-dye t-shirt day, but tell us about how the program went and that day in itself.
Yeah, I think overall ESY was a great opportunity for our special education students. They continued to work on skills that they had been working on during the school year. So transitioned. We, like we talked about before, had themes each week. So that final week, the theme was colors. And we had the end of ESY celebration where we used lots of colors to tie-dye shirts and had popsicles. It just so happened to be a day
the
that was
day
like
of the, summer.
The hottest day ever. So which we hadn't totally prepared for, but we did invite our families in to join us in that to really celebrate the end of the program. And, you know, get to meet the teachers a little bit because they are a little bit different for some of the students. So I think overall, everybody was really happy. I think our students continued to make progress, and we're hoping that it supports them in the transition into September.
Yeah, I know I was not so much over here. I didn't really make my way over here for the program, but I know Mr. Whirl, he always had me judging some of their art contests that they had throughout the day. So I really enjoyed spending some time with the students. He actually even got me to play a game of Duck Duck Goose. I was in there. We had our summer camps also wrap up. They were very successful. Hopefully the kids had a lot of fun. We hope to extend that to next summer and hopefully expand that as well to get some more teachers involved, get some more students involved, hopefully give us a little bit more time to prepare and get that information out to the community so we all know, you know, to hopefully get some more and more people.
I think it was amazing. I think tons of great feedback across the board. I'm looking forward to it next year. And then our final summer program was the summer reading program. Mm-hmm. That went really well. I think all of the students enjoyed that. Really working on reading with one program in each building. Mm-hmm. So I think that was new, not necessarily something that's going to always happen, but, you know, I think we kind of make things work where we can. And then, you know, at this point, no students in the building until start school.
And you have one more big summer event for TES, right, coming up before school starts.
We do. So we're going to do Chalk the Walk like we did last year. So on Labor Day, September 1st, so that Monday, we are going to meet at TES and draw inspirational messages or pictures for our students to see as they come in on the first day of school. Mm-hmm. And then I will share something on Parent Square. It was shared in the newsletter at the end of the year with that information, but I'll make sure I reshare that so everybody can plan and hopefully join us.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice event that you held, and just to kind of see that inspirational things kind of as students were walking in, those kind greetings, I think was really nice for the everybody to
and
see.
They lasted a really long time.
Yeah.
We had, there was like, there were messages on the sidewalk and looking great really into the winter.
Yeah.
Which, I think it's cool.
And then just some, a couple district events that we have coming up and dates. We have Board of Education meeting on Monday, the 18th. We have new staff orientation, August 19th through 21st. Staff in service, staff will come back into the building 26th to the 28th. And then our first day for students is September 2nd. So we have a lot to do in those next couple of weeks to prepare for all those, but we are excited and we're kind of gearing up for the school year. That being said, we're going to transition into our guest portion of the show. We have Mr. Bannon joining us. It was a nice time to sit down and kind of hear his story. To be very frank, this is actually the second time we recorded him. Our first time was in our very first couple of days of trying to get the podcast off the ground, and we did not do a good job of recording. So hopefully this interview is a little bit better. And we hope that you enjoy learning a little bit more about Mr. Bannon and kind of his time here in Tabernacle. All right, we'll get to it. Okay. Today we are joined by Mr. Bannon, Superintendent of Tabernacle Schools. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So one of the things that we really want to talk about is kind of your, I would say, career path. We know, or at least from my experience, I didn't walk in the first day of being a teacher and say, I want to be a principal. I'm not sure if you felt the same way. No. Shaking your head no. So what was, you know, your career thought process in becoming a superintendent? Was this always a goal? Was this something that you built towards? Just give us a little kind of background of your experience.
Sure. So I began my career teaching in high school. I taught high school English. And early on in my career as the English teacher, the principal had a school improvement committee, they called it then, invited me on it. So I really enjoyed the idea of trying to figure out how to improve things. So again, in the classroom, it's you're impacting those kids that you had. You know, teaching high school English, I probably had somewhere between 100 to 150 every year. And then it's so cool, you're impacting those level of kids. And then through the improvement committee, it was discussing ways that we could improve more than that, right? Impact the entire school. So I thought, oh, yeah, this is kind of neat. I thought, you know, this would be kind of an interesting path to start taking to go towards the administrative path, mm-hmm. where you can therefore have more of that on a daily basis, impact the larger level. So from there, I got my master's in education administration, became a dean of behavioral management in that school as well, which was a kind of a quasi-administrative role, kind of handled like low-level discipline, but also trying to figure out positive interventions for students along with the administrative team.
Were you still a teacher at that time?
So it was considered a teaching role, but I was not actually in the classroom. So that was an interesting transition. So I could still do certain things and ran clubs for students since I was not an administrator, but I could not be in the classroom. So that was tough because I really enjoyed teaching English. I also taught film. So it was cool that I had these really positive interactions with kids and see their academic growth that way. So it was a pretty interesting transition to go from that to this dean position. And then after doing that for a year, I was able to transition to become an assistant principal in the high school. This is at Lacey High School. And the person who I was a dean for, he transitioned up to become an elementary principal. So therefore, I took his spot as the assistant principal and served there. It was, again, really neat to see how your overarching reach of the district, how you can hit many different things. I was able to be in charge of different academic departments there, which I obviously was not as a dean role. So I oversaw science and STEM Academy. Again, as an English teacher, it was very different, but I actually, when I went to college originally, I started as a computer science major. So it was an interesting transition to kind of go back towards the STEM fields in there. And it was kind of cool to interact with students that way. We worked on developing things to really make the STEM program stronger and even add a capstone program because it was still very new. So we never had four-year programs. So I was like, what do we do to get the kids show that they've completed something? So we created a whole path for them to really create projects that were individualistic and got them to shine, and they could use that for their college applications. So that was kind of neat. And then from there, transitioned to become a high school principal. I was a principal of Pinelands Regional High School. And then did that for a number of years and then came here. And when I was at Pinelands, it was something that one of my other administrators, I think it was the director of guidance, said to me that, you know, have you thought about taking class to get your superintendent certification? So ended up doing that, and that led me here.
Yeah. And then you kind of obviously, even in that, you know, the version of that story, you held many different roles. Mm-hmm. And eventually you came to Tabernacle. What about Tabernacle draws you to this community? Why are you invested here?
So I think it's an awesome community. I think it's a huge difference when I focus so much of my career at the high school level to come in and deal with the elementary. So again, I was always looking at so much of what is the end result. And now it's kind of neat to set them off of the path of making sure that you're giving them the tools they need to be successful later, as opposed to setting them up for just the college success. So much we're looking at here is kind of neat to then interact with the preschoolers. I've done the preschool expansion, the kindergartners when I first got here, and everything else, and really see how the students are growing. So it's kind of neat to see that long-term growth. Whereas before, you know, I had the interaction, but usually it was, you know, it's called 4 years max, where now I'm seeing the kids really get to grow and seeing the programs we're putting in place and seeing how these kids are changing so much by the time they enter our district from preschool on up. So it's really cool to see that there and have that continuation. It's also, it's really neat. This is a unique district where you have the schools across the street from each other. So it's not like you feel like you're only able to interact in one area and you can't get to another building often, or you can't see these things. You can walk across, as we do pretty much every single day, multiple times a day, and see what's going on. So it's interesting to be more connected. And again, some districts as well, when you look at the superintendents, the superintendent's off in a far off building that's not connected to the schools. So I do like the fact that my office is in the middle school. I'm able to quickly see what's going on there and get across the elementary school. And I feel like you're more connected to the students. I think that was always my, you know, biggest concern when you go towards the superintendent level of how much time you're going to see with the kids. Because I saw so many times the superintendents were off in those district offices, and, you know, talking to them, that was always the thing that they found was difficult, was still having the time to see what the students are doing on a daily basis that you still get here.
Yeah.
And like with that though, what does your day-to-day look like, right? So you kind of led us there because you are in the schools, I think, a little bit more, and obviously transitioning from the principal super role to now just superintendent, like what does a typical day look like? Maybe school year day, not necessarily summer day, because that's a little bit.
I try each day to get into both buildings early in the day. Usually try to check with the principals, walk around. You know, your first get here is to do a walk around the schools to see what's going on, make sure everything's in good shape before the students get here. And then they'll kind of walk around to see the students are, you know, take peeks in the classroom to see the kids are learning, see that they're engaged, the things that, you know, I miss that I don't get a chance to actually deliver that way to them. It's cool to walk in and see the kids have that big smile on their face, that aha moment. Still a thing I love when I get to do the teacher observations. You know, I will say, you know, a little bit more towards like the language arts classrooms and to see sometimes they're doing some of the same lessons that, you know, maybe I did in a different level in high school. And you see that and you're like, I miss doing that part of it, you know? So I think it's great that, you know, I try throughout the day to try to look in different classrooms or pop in or do the observations. You know, whether it be meeting with, like I said, the administrative team or teachers or parents that they need to meet as well. So I think each day is different, but it's usually a lot of just, you know, being on the move, taking an eye out, make sure that, you know, if there's something that needs to be addressed, to handle it as quickly as possible, but really to keep an eye on what the students are doing and make sure they're all learning and growing.
Have you ever, like, taken a step back and said, I'm really proud that I did this in Tabernacle thus far? Is there a moment, that aha moment for you that you have in Tabernacle?
I think those things happen all the time. I think that, you know, I'm very proud of seeing that we're able to offer preschool. I think that was something that's an amazing thing, that we're able to make sure that our kids are being educated from the time they're three on up. I think it's great to see, and I'm very proud of the community support when we did the referendum, and see the way that it's improving our buildings, that we're providing better and safer learning environments for our students, and safer environments for our staff to work in, that they're getting HVAC that is actually in places that they never had to learn in or eat in or teach in. So when you're seeing all those upgrades, I think it's constantly seeing that. So I think that knowing that the students are learning in a more comfortable environment and a safer environment is something I'm definitely very proud of.
Yeah. So Ms. Arts talked a little bit about like what that summer day is. And I know that we are almost to the end of summer, or at least as the time of recording. Do you have advice for that first day of school for the student? So if you're giving like advice for a student that may be listening, or a parent that may be listening, whether it's a preschooler all the way up to eighth grade, do you have that maybe general advice that you would want them to know for their first day?
I always love to just come in with an open mind. You know, you never know. You're walking in a new setting. I know sometimes when you're walking in a new classroom, a new teacher, it can be kind of a scary feel. You know, it's something I deal with my three boys as well. Like, you know, is this teacher new to me, or do my brothers have that before? But I think it's going in and knowing that everyone you're going to walk into has the right mindset to try to make sure that your year is the best year possible. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, to go in with that comfort of knowing there might be some hiccups day one as new for you or new for the other kids in the room. But know that the teachers are going to do everything they can to show you how much they care about you and get you prepared. And by the end of the year, you're going to say that I'm so glad I was in that classroom. So glad I learned these things. And the day one, just coming in with that open mindset of not, you know, I'm scared because it's new, but I'm excited because it's new.
Yeah. I'm going to take that advice too, because I know with the fourth grade transitioning over to OMS, I'm going to have that mentality of, you know, each day is new. I'm going to learn something new, because there might not be something that I know is coming my way, and I'll eventually have to handle it and deal with it and adjust for it. So I'm going to take that advice as well. All right. So we're to the portion of our podcast where we're actually going to install or implement a new game. And we had a little trend last podcast with Mr. Gotts doing a game. So we're going to do a game here. I wish there was maybe some game. Maybe I'll try to do some game show music behind this.
A little theme song, if you will.
Theme song.
Sounds
yeah.
good.
And we're going to play a game that was invented by us. It's called Ban In or Ban Out. And just so we're clear on the rules, we're going to give you a statement, and you are either going to be banned in on that statement, you agree with the statement, or you're going to be banned out, you disagree with this statement. So we'll give you a couple, maybe we'll talk about them. Do you want to read the first one? All right, I'll read the first one, and we'll see where we go from there. All right.
I don't even know that word.
Okay. Well, you'll see why just doesn't work, and then you can address it to her. All right. Darth Maul is the best villain in all of Star Wars. Ban in or ban out?
I love Darth Maul, but I'm going to be banned out on that one.
Ban out. Why ban out?
He is a villain at times, but he's a more complex character than that throughout not just the movies, but the TV shows. So it's hard to say. I put him in that category compared to the overarching, you know, let's call it the Emperor Palpatine type look, even though somehow he returned is still one of the worst lines ever written.
Where in the world am I? Not in elementary school right now. We'll go to the next one. The Princess Bride is not as good as people remember. It's overhyped nostalgia.
Ban in or ban out?
Hard ban out. Hard ban out. I think you set me up for that one, Mr. Pina. You know, that's one of my absolute favorite movies. Uh-huh. And I said that's one of the most quotable movies of all time. Okay. So, yeah, no. I can't. Then no. Absolutely not.
Did I get... Was that
yeah, you got a good one. There you go. Yeah.
All right. Grilling with propane is superior to charcoal. Ban in or ban out?
I am a propane griller, so I'll go with ban in on that one, but I have nothing against charcoal. It's very mixed. I know some people prefer their one. I use propane.
Okay.
A hot dog is 100% a sandwich.
Ban in or ban out?
I'm going to go ban out on that one. I think it could be either which way because technically it's there, but you're only using one piece of bread as opposed to two, and I usually look at two pieces of bread to make a true sandwich. So, you know.
Okay, so that's the...
So like when your hamburger roll is connected,
yeah, it's not a sandwich? I don't really look at a hamburger as being a sandwich in this sense either, but I guess it technically would be. So, you know, it's an interesting one to go for.
Boxing them in. Right? Can't be aggressive with that one.
I can clearly tell
you're on a different standpoint of me on this one. I don't know. I've never given... This is an interesting philosophical discussion. I think okay. Clearly needs more time.
All right. So that's a...
What does Google say? Do you know the real answer?
I don't... Does Google give the real answer? Is that 100%?
I would say it would be an AI-generated answer. I don't know if I would say it's the real answer.
Okay. All right. Next one. Nick Foles deserves a statue bigger than Rocky's statue. Ban in or ban out?
Ban in.
Ban in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Rocky. It's awesome. It's also fictional. Nick Foles. That was an amazing game to play to win the Super Bowl for the Eagles, and especially as the first Super Bowl ever. Yeah, that man deserves a much bigger statue.
Okay. We'll go with one more. We'll go with ban in or ban out. ELA teachers are better than every other teacher.
Oh, come on now. I can't. You're going right for something I thought. No, I cannot say ban in on that one. I have to go ban out. I think that, you know, it doesn't make a difference necessarily what subject area you teach in terms of what teacher, how good you are. I think it's so much about the individual. So you could have an ELA, you know, someone who teaches anything can be the best teacher you've ever seen. One of the best teachers I ever worked with was a TV studio teacher, and the things he got kids to do and see things differently, and the things he was willing to do anything he could to create something for a student, whether it be a new club activity or the time and effort he put into individuals and continued to. Like, I still see things that he's finding ways to, years after the kids graduated, to find them jobs and stuff like that. To me, that when you're having that level of investment, it doesn't make a difference what subject you're teaching. It's just about what you're doing, the connections you have with the kids.
Well, thank you for maybe our first and last ban in, ban out. I don't know if we can do that with anybody else, but if you join us for another episode, maybe we'll throw a couple more questions at you.
So starting to wrap up our open door, and you've had a little bit of time to think. You knew this was coming. Favorite French fry?
Still just don't have, there's not that go-to French fry. I know that you love McDonald's. I remember this discussions and stuff like that. I am not like, gee, I got to have that French fry. I don't know. I've always looked at more of like what comes with the French fry than the French fry.
Like the main
like
course?
If I'm ordering like
what
a
the
burger,
like entree
like
is?
Yes, I think that to me stands out more.
But do you have like,
really an answer.
Is there some place that you would go that you're like, okay, I want the fry over like a salad? I don't know. People do that.
I thought you were thinking like fry over mozzarella sticks or something.
Like some place where there is like, you could potentially get a different, I don't know, like mashed potatoes, but you might get fries because that place has them.
Has
and
really
you
good
really like them.
I mean, in that sense, I can't think of ordering anything else. So if I went to a McDonald's, then the fries. So like that to me is like, you're not going to get any other side that potentially be offered. I can see that. But yeah, no, that's not.
I stand by the McDonald's fry. It was really good. I actually had it for lunch yesterday. Loved it.
You asked about the nostalgia. I think that's it. Because I remember that, you know, you're as a kid, you're always eating the McDonald's fry, right?
Right.
And that stands out. So perhaps it's more of that flavor is so ingrained, not so that it is so good.
So do I hear that you're agreeing with me that the McDonald's fry is
I think
best
you heard
fry.
I didn't
I'm
say
that.
All right. So we'll leave it with
an answer
in my book and an answer in Ms. Arts' book. All right. Well, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you giving us some time. And thank you for joining us in Ban In, Ban Out.
Thank you both.
All right. ban in or ban out? What did you think of that?
Well, I think, to be completely honest,
always, yes,
you had sent those questions to me with zero context and with, I think, the craziness that is our schedules and preparing for the opening of school, we didn't really connect about them until we were sitting here ready to record. So I really didn't know what they meant when I saw them.
Right.
And then, I mean, obviously, Mr. Bannon has different interests than I do in reality. Yeah. And I didn't know what some of them were. So it was like, okay, the start was hard. I think the overall, the game was fun. And I think he enjoyed it. And I think you know him well. So you were able to kind of cater it to him.
Okay. Would you do ban in, ban out round two if available, or would you do if someone else a similar game like that, I guess maybe depending on the last name?
I think it was good. I think it did. I think it was like good conversation, a little bit of conversation. I think that like I like it, but I also think it's unique to him. So right. I think that would be like, we're not going to play the same game that we played with Mr. Gotts with anybody else. Right. Like, I don't know that I would play this version.
And then the only other thing, he really didn't give us a straight answer. That might be the first guest that we had that didn't give us a straight answer of what was their favorite fry.
That's not how I heard it.
Okay.
I think he said that he definitely liked the taste of the McDonald's fry the best. And you chose to make that a non-answer. So I think we're going with he agrees that a McDonald's fry is the best fry.
Well, we can agree to disagree. That being said, thank you for joining us for this episode of Beyond the Bell. We hope that you join us for our next one.